Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports edutainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
This is Tim and Sid. My God, it's Friday, Sid Sixero. And man, do we have a lot coming up.
We got countdown to puck drop / tip off. Tim McAuliffe and a team of 30 here at Tim and Sid put together what you need, whatever. Face off. The point is we get you ready for one of the great. Tim, is this the greatest weekend in the history of sports? Is it the greatest weekend ever?
Sid, this might be the greatest weekend in the history of sports.
But you're not willing to cement the opinion. You're not willing to go there.
This
100%.
Is the craziest weekend in the history of sports. Like, I don't, there's no championship being given out, but seeing as what we have gone through over the last 4 months as a group together, not just as sports fans, but as citizens, I am looking forward to this weekend more than I've looked forward to championships being given out. And I know damn well that baseball might not last the weekend. Look at the smorgasbord of whole grain goodness that we are about to have unloaded on us, Sixero, over this weekend. The word scrumtralescent may not exist in the dictionary, but the word scrumtralescent is what comes to mind when I look at just how many games, if they all go off, we will have this weekend.
And for those watching on Sportsnet Mains, that Magic Nets was something.
Oh, my goodness.
That is how you start the weekend with the Nets nearly blowing a 25-point lead. Or excuse me, the Magic almost blowing a 25-point lead. I guarantee you there will be better games played with better defense and better overall execution in many sports than the one you just witnessed. But you know what? The quality, I could give a damn. The more I think about it, I don't care. The fact that it's back is making me happy. So countdown to face-off coming up with Tim McAuliffe. Considering the weekend we're going to have, it's insane. Jays are not playing this weekend. You know that by now because of situations going on across Major League Baseball, specifically in Philly. However, Jays fans, that doesn't mean we're not going to take care of you. Nate Pearson, the one and only Nate Pearson, coming off quite the impressive Major League debut Wednesday in Washington. He will join us next segment here on Tim and Sid. So Mr. Pearson will be on here momentarily. Also, best of the week coming your way. All of that coming up in mere moments. But Tim, we begin where we kind of started the conversation with the sports orgy to come this weekend, and I cannot wait. I tried to think of a cleaner way to describe it, Tim. I couldn't. It is a sports orgy.
Do you not know how to spell my name in emails? Because I'm still waiting for the email.
I tried to send McAuliffe an email twice, and I can't get through to him, and I don't know how. Happened. I swear to God, Tim,
probably
I tried
me.
To send you this email
it's probably
twice.
Me. It's probably me. Anyways, we can't communicate the normal ways that we normally do because we're working out of our basements. And we're going to try something with this countdown to tip-off / face-off that I don't think that we have ever attempted to do in the history of the channel with video in our basements. And normally we don't see any video when we do this show from our basements, but we're going to try and see video from our basements. Either way, Sixero, no matter whether I got the email or not, you cannot rain, no matter whether or not the Jays play this weekend or not, although that's kind of freaking me out. There are 90-plus events that will take place between Friday and the end of Sunday. We've been waiting for this moment for months. In fact, Sid and I have talked about it several times. After months with no sports, it is finally here. We have no idea how long it'll last. But this weekend will be the busiest sports weekend we have ever seen. NHL, NBA, WNBA, Major League Baseball, maybe, UFC, MLS, FA Cup, golf, CEBL, NASCAR, F1, Sydney. how are you planning to consume this smorgasbord of whole grain goodness?
The smorgasbord of whole grain goodness? Let me tell you something. You're talking to me like I'm some rookie. All right? And I know for a fact you're no rookie when it comes to this. So I'm going to tell you flat out how this goes. All right? I'm going to tell you flat out what you do. First off, we're sitting here in Ontario. It's a little after 5 Eastern. So if you're in Quebec, if you're in the Maritimes, you're getting closer to the evening. I know in Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Alberta and BC, you got plenty of time to go to the store and take care of anything you need to take care of between now and tomorrow. Because if you're looking for snacks tomorrow, if you're going to the LCBO tomorrow.
Yeah, snacks. Oh.
If you're going to the beer store tomorrow, you are too late. These are things that you have time to take care of right now. For example, just down to my right, in my beer fridge, McAuliffe, which I rarely bring up to you during this show, I got, would you like a little MGD? Would you like a little MGD? Would you like a little Heineken?
You got a beer fridge?
How about a little Miller Lite? Would you like a little Miller Lite? And would you like, and the lady got a little Peroni this week on top of all of that. A little Peroni for you. I'm stocked, literally stocked. I'll send you the picture during the next break, although I don't know if I can email you, period, but we'll give it a shot. Listen, you get the drinks today. You get the snacks today. You wake up tomorrow. You have a coffee. You go on Twitter. You yell at people. And then you go to the washroom. If you're like me, 40 minutes. 40 solid minutes. Okay? You do what you have to do. I'm not going to get into details, but we're all human beings. We've all run that race. All right? So
run that race.
Sometimes you lose. The Jays are not playing this weekend. As Tim and I have alluded to a couple of times, kind of trepidatiously. No Jays. That makes things easier. Because with all due respect, baseball's off my radar this weekend. And I love baseball. You love baseball. Baseball, no baseball. Okay? The priorities are NHL qualifiers, game ones, best of fives. In the history of the National Hockey League, they've had like 56 game ones and best of sevens. 49 teams that won the first game won the damn series.
In best of fives.
From 1980 to 1986. Did I steal something from Countdown to Faceoff? I think I stole something from Countdown to Faceoff.
No, you didn't. Actually, I left it out. I'm glad that you did that because it is an important stat. But you said best of sevens, and then I wanted to make sure.
It's best of fives. Best of fives. Yeah. So you have to watch.
I'm not Twitter. I'm not going to yell at you because you made a slip of the tongue mistake.
You're not Twitter.
I know what you meant.
You do it in the moment, and you don't yell, so it's fine. I'm cool with it. So to me, the priorities are the qualifiers. Aside from Raptors Lakers tomorrow night on Sportsnet 1. I am going to have to find a way to take in Habs Penguins with that Raptors game. To me, that is the biggest conflict of the weekend live, because I'm going to tape the FA Cup final with Arsenal and Chelsea. I'm going to tape that. I'm going to tape the British Grand Prix Sunday morning and watch Lewis Hamilton win another race. I'm going to tape that. There are things you can tape and pick off and then consume them at a later date at a different pace. It's the hockey qualifiers plus the Raptors game. Those are the priorities. Anything else you really don't have to watch. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. There's NBA games tonight. Like, we got Celtics Bucks on Sportsnet 1 tonight, followed by Mavs and Rockets. Like, there's some NBA games trickling out there that are amazing. But to me, that's how I approach it. I think that is the priority. I could be wrong, Tim. Poke holes in whatever theory I threw out there.
I'm laughing at how excited you are. Like, let me just. I don't know a person that consumes more sports on TV, and I watch a lot, but I have kids, so it makes it tough.
I have a cat who's a problem, but whatever.
I don't know any person. I can't even tweet anymore because everything's on PVR, or I push pause and I take care of something, or I go do something, and just I can't do it anymore. Sid Sixero consumes more sports than any person that I have ever encountered, including in the business.
That's a compliment to me. I appreciate that.
I say that about you all the time. When people talk to me in the streets and blah, 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 I say, like, that guy watches everything, more than anyone that I know. And I know a lot of people who watch a lot of sports because we work in it. But I can hear the verbal boner that you have as you get excited for what this weekend has in store. I mean, it's so big. The weekend that we have a countdown to face-off / tip-off planned for the second hour of this show. And I've already started packing back on the LBs. I stand no chance this weekend. I'm already planning the chicken wings that I'm about to digest tomorrow night. Because Saturday night, as you've already mentioned, seems to be a wonderful night for consuming sports, especially for many Canadians.
All right, Tim. Any other tips for the people listening and watching across Canada here as we're across all the mains on Sportsnet?
Ignite
and Sportsnet
outside. We may never get this again. If you have, and listen, Bell does the same thing with the whatever the hell they call it. But if you have Rogers Ignite, if you have internet-based television, just grab your TV. If you can unhook it, if it's on a stand, bring it outside. And if it's internet-based, it's so easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I just grab the Rogers Ignite, I grab my TV every day, and I just bring it outside, and I watch. Ignite outside. That's my one piece of advice.
Do you have the Rogers sound effect here? This guy, that was a commercial. Like, that was... There you go. All right, so that's the best that Tim and I can do in terms of tips here, because this weekend is unlike anything we've ever seen. Let us now get into the weeds a bit here in specifics. All right. And talk kind of about last night. Let's do the NBA.
Hey, can I just say something?
Go ahead.
I didn't see, we were watching that Magic game because we were waiting for all the channels to hook up and sync up. I didn't see Kevin Durant on the floor.
No, Kevin Durant.
For the Brooklyn Nets, no.
I told you there was no chance Kevin Durant was going to show up, Tim. Only an idiot would think Kevin Durant was coming
back.
One
of the greatest arguments that we ever had in the start of the pandemic, and I'm guessing that had something to do with why we were arguing so much about whether or not Kevin Garnett would play when the pandemic ended, and we didn't even know dates for the NBA.
I knew Kevin Garnett wasn't going to play. I think it was Kevin Durant we were talking about.
Kevin Durant? Did I say Kevin Garnett? Neither of them were going to play, and I had just as much faith in both of them playing, and that was a good one. So I just wanted to point out, he's not playing.
He's not playing. Which I called back in the day, if you would listen to it, but whatever. We'll move on. I think we were all right in that the NBA was coming back with a bang last night.
Yeah.
And it came bearing gifts. Underway on two fronts, two games. Both came down to the final possession on night one of the NBA's return to play. Fittingly, Rudy Gobert scored the first 2 points of the restart and the last 2 points of the restart on free throws. And I'm not sure if he touched any microphones after, but that's not my business. LeBron got the last laugh in the Battle of Los Angeles, hitting the game-winning shot, getting the stop on the Clippers' final possession. Lakers beat the Clippers 103-101. What was your biggest takeaway, McCalla, from night one in the NBA?
Besides how fitting it was that Gobert scored the first points after the pause, the people who are rushing to say, I told you the Lakers were the favorite, or are now the overwhelming favorite because of a 2-point win in game one, either they did not watch the game or they did not listen to LeBron's post after. I told you before this all started, I can't wait. I hope this happens. I hope we see Lakers-Clippers in the Western Conference Final. And it's not because I don't like the Rockets or some upstart team like, I don't know, OKC. It's because I want to see LeBron go toe-to-toe with two of the better defenders that we have seen in our generation. And Kawhi Leonard, maybe the best defender of this generation. Listen. LeBron said that he struggled through three quarters, and LeBron is maybe the GOAT, and he found a way to affect the game, and he found a way to get it done when it mattered most, but he was still 6 of 19 from the floor, and the Clippers were missing Lou Williams because he was so fed on wings, and Patrick Beverley played limited minutes in that game. If you watch that game and say to yourself, the Lakers are now the overwhelming favorite to get out of the Western Conference and win the NBA championship, I believe you've lost the plot.
Yeah, that wasn't the real Clippers out there last night, despite the fact it was close. Like, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams. Listen, say what you want about Lou Williams. That's 20 points off the bench, man. Not a lot of teams can say they have that off the bench.
No.
So, Tim, I'm with you 100%. There is no way you take that result. And for the record, I know LeBron's getting the love. Without Anthony Davis's third quarter, they don't win the game. Like, he was phenomenal. He was phenomenal in that third quarter. And the more you watch Anthony Davis play with LeBron, you're like, maybe he can be that guy. Because Anthony Davis once in a while shows up in spots where he's needed desperately. And is a major league reason. LeBron's getting the post-game interview. LeBron made the plays at the end. LeBron's getting the hype. I get it. Anthony Davis was fantastic. But again, I'm with you. I'm not drawing any conclusions from that last night in terms of Clippers v. Lakers. I want to see a lot more with full Clippers on the floor. Generally, Tim, in terms of everything, can we give Adam Silver some love here? Not that we haven't. But I think that's a moment last. The fact that it happened, that is not a visual we thought we were going to see in March. That's not a visual we thought we were going to see in April. There were parts of May where we didn't think we were going to see that visual. And you know, Major League Baseball, I'm hearing a lot about Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball about the lack of a bubble. The players didn't want the bubble. You think all the NBA players wanted a bubble?
Yeah.
You think all the NHL guys wanted a bubble? Leadership led to a bubble. From the Players Association and commissioners convincing people that this was the only way. That's leadership. The lazy answer is, well, the players didn't want the bubble. All right. Well, guess what's going to happen? Tim, you and I might be sitting here next week, Tim, talking about who wins the Cy Young Award in that 20-game season that just happened.
Yeah.
So I want to give Adam Silver more. Like, we do it a lot on the show, and a lot of people do. Just Adam Silver, bravo. Bravo right. for even making this possible. Bravo.
For all of the different reasons, too. And please, do me a favor. Don't get distracted by the people who are going to make the kneeling about the kneeling just because they don't want to have the equality or justice conversation. The people who are scared of the equality and or justice conversation will make it about the kneeling. Don't let them. Imagine being so upset about people asking for justice and equality. Like, if you're pissed about the way the NBA returned, ask yourself what it is about justice and or equality that scares you. So kudos to the NBA. Kudos mm-hmm. to Adam Silver. They got it all done. There's a saying, hard times will reveal true friends. It's usually the toughest times where folks see their true self. Remember, when they show their true self, believe it. By the way, Raptors and Lakers tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Let's
Sportsnet
go.
One.
Let's
and
go.
Just in case you weren't ready, Sid Sixero, just in case you weren't ready to see the Toronto Raptors defend their NBA title, I present to you Stephen A. Smith on who he thinks is the biggest threat to the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference, coming down in 3, 2, 1.
I don't anticipate that anybody will beat Milwaukee, but the team in terms of the biggest threat, I go with the Miami Heat, because I look at the fact that in the two meetings they played them this year, they beat them. That's not a big deal. Last time they played was in January, if I remember correctly, and I think the first time they beat them was like the second or fourth game of the season when Jimmy Butler wasn't even there. But I just look at Miami's perimeter shooting. A guy like Duncan Robinson pulling up from the parking lot, shooting nearly 45% from three. A Tyler Hero shooting about 40%, nearly 40% from three. The Goran Dragics of the world, the Kendrick Nunns of the world at 36-37% from three-point range. Their ability to close things out with a Bam Adebayo, considering his energy, particularly on the defensive end, along with the collection of bodies that they've got to throw at the Greek Freak, and they have the athleticism and quickness to get out and defend against Milwaukee's perimeter shooting, to get out there quick enough to defend some of their perimeter shooters, because we all know that Milwaukee can shoot the basketball.
Do I have to comment on that now, or can I wait?
Have at it, Raptor fans. We will address this later in the show. Countdown okay. to okay. tip-off. Countdown to face-off coming up a little later on.
Tim, as we mentioned a plethora of times here, the National Hockey League's return to play starts tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. I got two things hockey-related, Tim. Let me know which one you want to tackle. A, what surprised you the most from the week's exhibition games that were completed? B, do you have a Stanley Cup prediction?
I'll answer the first one quickly. The physicality. Man, they are ready to go, and I love it. As for my Stanley Cup prediction, let's do it, Sixero. I'm not a fan of this, but since we are here, and I didn't think we would get here, I'm ready to go. Dark horse for me. the Winnipeg Jets.
I'm right
there. If Connor Hellebuyck gets hot, look the bleep out. And I love how wide open it seems to win it all. It seems like the Blues and Caps are 11 and 12-1 respectively in Vegas. That might take a little dabble from Timothy McAuliffe. I really want to take Colorado, but their goaltending scares me. If the Colorado Avalanche get goaltending, they're ready to win the Stanley Cup.
A lot of people like the Avs for a lot of reasons. Tim, the Boston Bruins do not know how to play basketball. That's one thing we also learned this week. For those who missed it, the Bruins social media accounts, they have access to the Raptors practice facility at Scotiabank Arena. No one could make a shot. It was one of the most pathetic exhibitions of basketball I've ever seen in my life. But good
thing.
Did
their lack of coordination throw you off at all?
No, I just laughed at them. Like, oh, you mean in terms of professional athletes looking that bad?
It looked like they were playing a game of you have to miss.
Well, I hope that's the case, because then we can explain it. With that said, I think that team's lifting the Stanley Cup when this thing's all done in October. And I think the team they're taking on is the Edmonton Oilers. I got me a little Oilers and Bruins in the Stanley Cup final with the Jets also in the Western Conference final. The Jets are messing people up potentially.
Wow. You and Kelly Rudy on the Boston Bruins. Okay. More bad news for Major League Baseball today. Cardinals and Brewers game has been postponed. Two Cardinals have reportedly tested positive for COVID-19. Baseball is in a flux, kids. But that doesn't mean we don't have baseball content. Au contraire, fresh off of a remarkably good debut against the three-time Cy Young Award winner, Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays is joining us next. The most hyped rookie since, well, last year in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Nate Dogg, next, right here on Tim and Sid across the Sportsnet radio and television networks. Tim and Sid, coast to coast on Sportsnet television and radio, getting you set for the craziest sports weekend we have ever seen in our lives. At last check, 90 plus events will take place between now and Sunday on a calendar that looks unbelievable. And that doesn't even include the Toronto Blue Jays.
Blue Jays not in action. They're next scheduled to be in action next Tuesday against Atlanta. They're in D.C. They will also, I'm guessing, be watching sports like the rest of us this weekend because they got no games. Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays is joining us on the line after his debut on Wednesday. Nate, what will you be watching this weekend, man? You're going to be a fan like the rest of us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm going to be watching some baseball with the boys here in D.C. when we're chilling here for the next couple days.
What was it? I mean, people here, and I know that you guys have been in Washington the entire time, but people here have been talking near nonstop about your debut and how well the Jays came out of the gate. Let's talk about your debut for a second. What was it like to get out there and make your first big league start and do it the way you did it?
You know, it was a dream come true. You know, not being able to have my family and friends in the stands stunk a little bit, but you know, I felt all the support. I knew that everyone was watching and everything, and I just wanted to give my best shot to show the Blue Jays fans what's coming in the next few years with this young group we got.
Nate Pearson of the Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, correct me if I'm wrong. Forgive me, I've been wrong a bit lately. Your family was at a hotel in D.C. Just a few blocks away watching. Is that where they were?
Yes, they're here in town. They're watching from the hotel.
And what was it like seeing him afterwards? What was that interaction like?
It was emotional. You know, my mom was crying, so made me cry just seeing her all emotional. And my dad, you know, he's put so much effort and just so many sacrifices, all the lessons for me growing up, and just to be able to share that moment with them was everything. It was awesome.
I know it's not quite the same, but they were there because they're not far from home in Dunedin for your spring debut when you had it in Dunedin. Like, your dad called that phenomenal. What did Pop say after this one?
He was just saying, you're amazing. Like, you're a stud, and all the hard work's paying off. just so many emotions going through. He was just very proud of me, and it was a great feeling.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, when you went back into the dugout when you were done your fifth inning, it was apparent you were done for the night because everyone was laughing. Like it was one pat on the back after another. Pete Walker and Montoya. What were they saying to you when you walked down the steps?
They were just saying great job. Like they didn't expect anything less. Like they're just pumped to finally have me up there because you know it's been 3 years since I got in the org and been on that prospect list for 3 years and. They're all just talking about how bad they want me up there, and I finally got my shot, and they're all just proud, and just everyone was happy that we were in a good place, that we were winning some games, and that we're ready to go this season.
You admitted
– go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Sid.
I was going to ask, what surprised you in the moment on the mound that maybe you weren't expecting?
Just taking the moment to realize I'm pitching against the reigning national champs, you know, like the World Series champs, and Trey Turner, my first at bat or first guy I face, and it's just like it's Trey Turner, the shortstop, you know. So it's like it's not in the minor leagues anymore where you don't really know the guys you're facing, you know. So every guy that came up there, I've heard of and knew of, so it was pretty cool.
You admitted that there were some nerves in Boston. Was it different in Washington?
I kind of feel like I got all my nerves out in Boston. Like I felt like that was honestly my big league debut and Fenway and facing their A lineup in Boston and with J.D. Martinez and all of them. So, you know, I kind of feel like I got it all out in that first inning there, and then I settled in after the first rocky inning in Boston, and then I came into this outing, and I knew I was probably going to have the same nerves, but like once I got out there and started competing, it all went away, and it was just like a normal game for me.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. Nate, I was watching MLB Network for most of that day leading up, and every time they brought you up, first off, it was in glowing terms, and secondly, they mentioned 103, 104 in every sentence. It was Nate Pearson. He can hit 103, 104. How tempting was it for you to get out there knowing full well the baseball world knows how deep you can reach in terms of speed to pull out like a 103 and just give everyone a bit of a show?
Yeah, you know, so I knew I probably wasn't going to be able to hit that famous number like I did in the past, just because, you know, fresh into the season, still kind of building up. But, you know, I just wanted to show off my secondary stuff, man, because, like, I'm known for my heater, my fastball, and it was good my debut, but what I really showed is that I can pitch, man, and I can throw it my slider, I can throw my changeup, I can throw my curveball, I can throw everything at these guys, and that's kind of what I wanted to show.
It's funny. You talk about that a lot. Does it affect your mindset when so many people just want to talk 103, 104, and you know, as a kid that grew up loving baseball, that pitching is more important than the 103, 104, even though the 103, 104 is real nice to have? Like, does it alter your mindset? Like, I'm a pitcher, man. I'm a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, so when I got into the minor leagues, I was still like crazy about velo, and like I still am. Like I love that I throw hard; it's a big part of my game. But once I got into the pro ball, I realized like I can't just throw hard. Like I gotta be able to pitch, and if I want to be a Hall of Famer, I gotta get some secondary stuff that's just as good as my heater, and that's what I pride myself in. That's what I worked for, and so I want to kind of not eliminate the stigma of just like, oh man, he goes hard. Like I want people to say that, oh man, he's so gross, he's nasty. Like he's seen that slider, he's seen that curveball changeup. Like I wanted them to be talking about my whole arsenal, not just my heater.
It's funny because you mentioned Hall of Fame. If I want to be a Hall of Famer, I've been so impressed with your mental game. I've heard stories being told about your mental game. Like, is that the goal? Do you realize how good you can be?
Yeah, I mean, I know I have a shot to be great, and the way I think about it, the way my mentality is so good, is because I know the opportunity that I have, and I'm not gonna blow it. You know, I'm not gonna do anything stupid. Like, I'm going to focus on my craft and just try to get better each outing and do everything I can to keep learning and not be closed-minded and always adapt and change my routine when I need to, you know, just not get so fixated on one outcome or one routine and just get comfortable. You know, you got to keep pushing the limits. You got to keep striving for greatness.
Nate, I think it's gross that you just said, I need a secondary Hall of Fame pitch. Like, that's I'm glad Tim kind of focused on it, because that, I think that's what separates, and Tim and I talk about this all the time. That's not the mentality a lot of 23-year-olds have. I mean, we've seen enough 23-year-olds coming through the majors. They're like, you know, they want to stay in the fourth spot. They want to be in the rotation for a while. They want to prove. You're telling us you have a different mentality about what you can do in this game than some other young kids.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just understand the opportunity and the shot that I have. You know, like, it's if I have a 10 to 15 year career, you know, I want to make the most out of it. You know, I'm not going to be able to throw hard and be able to pitch my whole life. You know, I got a limited opportunity here in the next decade or so. So I'm trying to make the most out of it and just seize the opportunity.
Do you know where you get that perspective from? Because I don't, like, listen, both Sid and I have been in the business, even though we sound like young pops and we're young, hip, and edgy. We've been in the business for a while. Yeah, we've been here for about 20 years. And that perspective, to me, I oftentimes say that perspective is usually expensive because you have to go through some bleep to get that perspective. Do you know where you got that perspective at such a young age?
Yeah, I think when I first got injured and I had surgery my junior year of high school, and I missed playing baseball for a whole year. And I kind of realized, like, you know, like, if I want to stay healthy, if I want to make it, I gotta work harder than anyone. And I really learned a lot being 17 and just creating that mindset that no matter what happens, like, I gotta keep persevering. I gotta keep going. And just get obsessed with the craft of learning how to get better. You know, if I struggle one outing, okay, what did I struggle on? What can I do to make that better? Who can I talk to help me get an edge? Or what coach can I go to? You know, what player can I talk to that does that really well? Let me play catch with him and just pick his brain. You know, it's just all about learning and adapting.
Nate Pearson of the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid. During your start, Nate, I got a text from someone who was just gushing. And I texted back, and the Jays have until 2026. And he went, well, that's a long time. Now, I know the reason for that is because you were held back for service time issues, and it's a reality of baseball, and a lot of young players have to deal with it. What is your perspective on that in hindsight? Because it was only a week, but you're a competitor, and you know you belong. How pissed off were you that happened?
You know, they told me when I was going to start, and I think Wednesday after my start in Fenway, they told me I got the sixth game of the season. So I kind of did the math. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, right after the service time date. You know, it's kind of just chuckling. But, you know, I'm glad that they just told me up front, look, you got the sixth game of the season. And, like, they didn't tell me, like, we're doing it because of service time. Obviously, they can't do that. But, you know, it's whether that's the reason or not, like, I'm going to be in the big leagues. And I wouldn't have to wait a month like it would if this was a full season. So I don't have to go to trip back to play. Like, I put all the work in during this quarantine time, and they saw that, and they're like, all right, well, we're still going to keep his service time, whatever, but we're not going to waste any time. We're going to call him up right after that day, and I'm lucky that it's only been a week. So I was just glad to hear that they're going to give me the ball.
I got to ask about the fans in the stands. Like, I know you mentioned high school and missing the year in high school. Like, you probably had more folks at your last Bishop McLaughlin start than were in Washington, never mind this whole global pandemic thing. Like, did that affect you at all on the field, or are you able to just zone in and it's you versus the hitter?
Yeah, me and some of the starters on the team, we're actually just talking about that. Like, once you start facing hitters in the season and in the game, like, you forget that fans aren't even there. Like, you would think that you would notice, but I mean, they got the fan noise going, like, you don't really pay attention to it, but at the end of the day, you're so locked in on the catcher and, like, getting batters out and, like, performing and just competing that you forget that there's no fans there. And I think that's just kind of a good thing. It just shows that like our mentality at the pitching staff is we're just so locked in on getting outs, and I think that's pretty cool.
Nate Pearson, the Jays are on Tim and Sid. Your start Wednesday, if memory serves, that's technically the Jays' first home game of the season. I anticipate you starting a few home openers in your career for this organization before you're done. Does 45,000 people watching you add to your velo? Like, what will that do to your stuff?
It definitely will just give me more adrenaline, you know. Definitely see the velo pick up there in the later innings as well. But, yeah, just feeding off that crowd energy is electric.
Hey, before we let you go, Nate, I got to ask, you were talking about some of the starters out there and some of the pitchers about the crowd. Like, what are the boys saying about the mini all-star break that you find yourselves in? I think it was Davey Martinez who coined it the all-star break a little early. Like, this is all a little different for pros. Like, maybe not for NCAA or JUCO players to get, the 4 days off again. Like, what are the boys saying about this kind of unexpected layoff?
You know, we really don't know what to think about it, man, because, like, we're not really thinking about it as an all-star break because we each got one start, and then we're on a two-day break. So it's like no one really got to get their feet wet. I mean, we each had one start, but that's like nothing, man. Like, we each only threw, like, five innings, and, you know, pitch counts, we're still building up. You know, we're all, like, 80 pitches and 90 pitches. And I think we just want to get on a good routine. You know, obviously, with this virus going around, we got to be careful. And you see how it's still affecting us. You know, we're not in a bubble, so we got to make sure our teammates are doing the right things and just being safe.
Just you and the boys take care of yourselves. It was a treat to see you out there Wednesday. We know there's other stuff going on here. But, again, a huge congratulations, Nate, on Wednesday. I know there's a lot more to come from you, but that was a big moment with your family not far. And And a lot of Jays fans were really excited over that. We appreciate the time. Let's talk again soon. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Be well. There is Nate Pearson coming off his debut where he went toe-to-toe with a three-time Cy Young Award winner in Max Scherzer. He sounds like he's a little more mature than your normal 23-year-old.
I haven't heard a 23-year-old mention Hall of Fame in my life. Tim, I'm thank you for, because if you weren't, I was going to. Like, that, I've rarely heard a young person, especially a pitcher in baseball, it's such a finicky position, such a challenging position, talk in that way. Jay's, yeah. Breaking news here. Jay's got one in this kid. They got one in a lot of ways. Mentally, physically, they got one.
Still to come, the countdown to face-off / tip-off. We are on the verge, the precipice, already into craziest weekend of sports that we have ever seen in our lives. We'll kick it all off with the best of the week next, and then a countdown to face-off / tip-off like we used to do back in the day on the Boulevard of Linden, or just radio. Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Tim and Sid here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It is now time, kids, for Best of the Week, brought to you by Mary Brown's Chicken, Crave Delicious. We'll give you three options for our favorite clip of the week. You can vote on Twitter at Tim and Sid. The winner will be revealed later on in the show. Nominee number one goes to Tim McAuliffe. Timmy, take it away.
The Clippers' Lou Williams went viral again. He's gone viral a couple different times for a couple different reasons. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them having to do with women. And Lou Williams' trip to Atlanta and a gentleman's club that will remain nameless but has scrumptulescent wings grabbed a lot of attention. he said it was to pick up wings. Last night, the NBA on TNT panel weighed in on that.
Y'all need to get off Lou Will.
No, I'm not getting off him because I'm the only thing I said it in break. The man, and he tried to fool everybody. He was going there for the wings.
No, first of all,
he went there for the legs and the thighs. He ain't going there for the legs. He ain't going there for the legs.
What are you going there for, Kenny?
He ain't going there for the wings, man.
They're called flappers. They're called flappers.
He did not go in there for the wings.
I know what you were trying to say, Jet.
Kenny, the Jet Smith, laying it down early. Laying it down. By the way, Tim, there was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
4.5 month pandemic, no basketball. Shaq was late for that show. Did you see that last night?
Yeah.
Late. Stuck in traffic. Inexcusable. That's a strong favorite. That's probably going to win. But we have two more nominees, Timmy. When the Blue Jays made it official that Salem Field in Buffalo would be their home park this season, that's the plan anyway, we decided to put together a new song for the team with some help from our friend Stephen Brunt that would combine both the Jays and a sports legendary track from the city of Buffalo. 3, 2, 1.
Jays.
Make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now. The
Jays.
I'm making it happen now. Stand up now. Come on and shout. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Shout it right now, baby.
Say
feel it.
You will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Come on and shout.
Say you will.
Yeah.
Shout.
Buffalo's happening now.
Shout.
But happening now,
shout.
We're making it happen now.
Shout.
We've got the spirit,
shout.
A lot of spirit, yeah.
Shout.
We've got the spirit,
shout.
Just watch it happen now. Hey,
hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey,
hey,
hey, hey,
hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey.
Nothing better than deadpan Stephen Brunt. That is nominee number 2 in our Mary Brown's Chicken Best of the Week. Now, if you're a regular watcher of Tim and Sid, you may be familiar with our Friday feeling song that we like to finish each and every week with. Well, today, French tennis player Gaël Monfils put a new spin on the song from the deck of his yacht. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1.
Well,
it's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what?
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what?
It's Friday again,
it's Saturday, Sunday,
what? It's Friday again,
it's
Saturday,
I want to be a tennis player in my next life, Timmy.
Yeah. Is that his yacht? Do we know that's his
probably.
Yacht?
Probably. Like, are you doubting that that's his yacht? He's Gaël Monfils.
I'm not doubting. I'm just jealous that it's
even the guys yacht. Who don't win Grand Slams live a good life in tennis, right?
Yeah.
Like, they do very well. Those are the three nominees. Go to @TimAndSid on Twitter to vote. The poll is currently up. We'll reveal the winner at the end of the show. Timmy, we spoke to Nate Pearson about what's going on in the world of baseball not that long ago. We seem to have some developments over the last couple of minutes, don't we?
Well, it's in the last hour, basically. Jeff Passan with a tweet and people speculating on what it means. But MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred told the PA Executive Director Tony Clark on Friday today that if the sport doesn't do a better job of managing the coronavirus, it could shut down for the season, sources tell ESPN. Not that this is breaking news. I think everyone who understands what the bleep is going on understood this. But to see it in writing makes it a little bit more real. Does it not, Sid?
It does. And what makes it even more real is the tweet I'm seeing from Scott Miller of Bleacher Report as we kind of drill down into what happened with the Marlins, who are right now completely, they can't do anything. This is what Scott Miller threw out there about half an hour ago. MLB internal investigation found that the Marlins were very lax in following protocols during Atlanta trip last weekend. Players going out, players in hotel bar, etc. Lots of Major League Baseball people very unhappy with the Miami Marlins. Wow.
Could that have been for the wings, the thighs, and the breasts?
Yes. Yes. What did Chuck throw in there? Repeat that one to me, Tim, or no?
Flappers. I don't know if I want to.
You didn't have to. I didn't think you would. But that's
wings, breasts, and thighs. There's a rumor out there that lax trip to Atlanta included Magic City for the Florida Marlins. Miami Marlins. Unbelievable. Can we brighten the mood?
Please. please.
Countdown to face-off slash tip-off is next on this edition of Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio and TV.
It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexsero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, ahead of a weekend where there will be 90-plus sporting events for you to choose from across basically every sport except for football, and we're hoping still baseball between now and Sunday. We're not sure. The Brewers were supposed to have their home opener today against the Cardinals. Two positive COVID tests. That's not happening, and we're seeing a lot of stories circulating over the last hour or so about Rob Manfred and the union having hard conversations. Why that's happening now, I'm not quite sure. Seems like a day one or two conversation, but I digress, Timmy. We're not really sure how long the baseball portion of this schedule will continue, but I'll say this. If the baseball season happens to be cut short, Timmy, Nate Pearson's performance this past Wednesday, and technically the Jays' home opener against Washington in his MLB debut, will maybe be the highlight of the year for me, just watching the kid go pitch for pitch with a Hall of Famer in waiting in Max Scherzer. And Nate was kind enough to join us last hour, and Tim, he was a delight. Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot from Nate Pearson, so you need to hit up the podcast if you missed it, or just tell Rogers Ignite TV to restart the show and watch it. Kyle Duffield wrote into the show and said, "Big Nate on Tim and Sid, so wise beyond his years. Blue Jays very lucky to have him. It struck both me and Sid how wise, how the kid kind of had a little perspective and also a little gusto. Like, you could tell what he wanted and when he wanted to get it. So if you missed it, go back and get it, and if you heard it, I think you're kind of like Kyle.
He is. He had this really. I can't say this enough. I know we're on the show, so we're a little biased. You got to listen to the interview because he has this. He has this weird confidence. Like, I've heard confidence before in kids. So is Tim. Mm-hmm. There is this odd, like, already won two Cy Young confidence with Nate, and he knows where he wants to be, and he knows how he's going to get there. And he knows he needs a secondary pitch because he's not going to be a Hall of Famer without a good secondary pitch. His words, not mine. So it was a fascinating interview, so I highly recommend it.
With two games in the NBA last night, one already today, the Raptors making their return tomorrow, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet. Gets underway, 8 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet. Then, of course, the NHL qualifying round starting tomorrow. Every game on the Sportsnet family of channels. Oilers, Flames, Jets, and Flames tomorrow. Leafs and Canucks on Sunday. It is a cavalcade of sporting goodness, even without the Jays. Starting today through Sunday, there are 39 Major League Baseball games, at least for now. As we begin the march towards the Larry O.B. and Lord Stanley's Grail, 17 NBA games, 10 NHL games. Oh, it looks so good. There is only one way to ring in that kind of whole grain goodness, and that is with a countdown to kickoff, or in this case, a countdown to face-off slash tip-off. Now, you might remember last year, Sid, we were honored with the presence of the Larry O'Brien.
The good old days, Timmy. Look at that.
On our set in Jurassic Park. Heck, we even invited him to stay a while. And lo and behold, he did. In fact, he still calls Canada home. Well, this year, Sid, the NHL and the Hockey Hall of Fame asked us if we would like the Stanley Cup on set. But since we're split apart in our respective basements doing the show from home, only one of us could have the cup at our house. So, of course, being the unselfish man that I am, I sent it to you, Sid Sexsero.
It's very nice of you.
I'm lying. I didn't. 3, 2, and 1.
I'm sorry, Sid. I really am. But, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, allow me to present, remarkably from my backyard, the Stanley Cup. And, of course, the keeper of the cup, Phil Pritchett. Stanley, Phil, welcome to the McAuliffe family home. And Canada, welcome to the 2020 edition of the Countdown to Face-Off and Tip-Off. Oh, Stanley, Phil, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you.
All right. I got some things to say here.
Okay.
One, nice of you to clean the donuts out of the pool for Phil Pritchett coming by the McAuliffe household. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Right? The Stanley Cup is there. That's not the Rideau Canal. It's your pool. All right?
Hey,
that's hockey history. That's hockey history. Phil, clean your damn pool.
Phil liked the unicorn floating in the back. I don't know about you, but Phil was appreciative of it.
He's a polite man. He ripped the hell out of it on the way out. He's a polite man to your face. Secondly, the flip-flops and shorts. I am the last guy in the history of Earth to rip someone's wardrobe. The Stanley Cup. Phil Pritchett is walking into your backyard as if you won it, and it's your day with the cup in August. And you put on shorts and flip-flops? You know, disrespecting everything the Stanley Cup
Phil was wearing shorts and flip-flops.
He can wear them because it's Phil Pritchett. He can do whatever he wants.
It was like 30 degrees.
Dad, I understand it was hot in Ontario over the last couple of weeks, but that's inexcusable.
Listen, secondly, hold on. Okay, keep going. You're at thirdly, but go ahead.
Third, whatever.
All right.
That was damn cool. I'll give you credit. Yeah. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Stanley Cup in the backyard. That's fine.
Phil did have a message for you and all of Canada, Sid.
Okay.
You can't come to my backyard to see the cup. You can go to the Hall of Fame and see it as the Hockey Hall of Fame is back and open in downtown Toronto. And he told me, Sid, just for you, they'll charge you full price to go see it.
Pritchett! Damn it!
Did I mention the Stanley Cup was in my backyard?
Well, you were running like 8 minutes of video of it. Yeah, you don't have to mention it.
Okay.
Everyone in Canada can see it. I can see it. Yeah, I know there's a Stanley Cup on the McAuliffe compound. By the way, did your kids want to touch the Stanley Cup? Like, how did that work? What's that? You're like, don't touch it. Like, how did that work?
Hang around, Sid. It might still be here. Here's how the countdown works. I present a bunch of fun facts and stats meant to amaze, entertain, and maybe even educate. And I ask questions of Sid Sixero based on those stats, all in the hope of giving you, the Timmins citizens, the very best water cooler talk in the office or the school, but in COVID-19 terms, I guess it's the very best Zoom ammo. Got it good, and since you understood, kids, please remember, this is for entertainment purposes only. Please, no wagering. Sid, are you ready?
Unless you have other trophies, is Infantino and FIFA coming by with a World Cup for your backyard
we're
or what?
We're good. We're good.
All right.
We're good.
Go
Timmins citizens, ready. Among the seven Canadian teams vying to capture a title in the NBA and NHL, according to Vegas, the Raptors have the best odds to win a championship at 14-1. The defending champions, who started, by the way, at 20-1, are now a 14-1 pick to win it all. We saw Stephen A. Smith earlier in the show say that the Miami Heat were the biggest chance to beat the Milwaukee Bucks in the East, but he does a job. Are the Raptors being respected or disrespected by Vegas and the general public?
They're being disrespected by Vegas. They're being disrespected by the general public. And Raptor fans, I got news for you. That's just where you want to be. That is a sweet spot right there. That is exactly where you want to be if you're the Toronto Raptors. That's exactly where you want. Marc Gasol yesterday was asked, Timmy, I don't know if you saw this quote. He was asked, you know, it's very hard to win an NBA championship without a quote-unquote top five player.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, Mark? And Mark's answer in stride was like, how many top five players in NBA history haven't won an NBA championship because they don't have a good team around them? He said, I got a good team around me. We got a good team around us. Raptor fans, enough of the disrespect, enough of all that. Listen, I know Stephen A. irked you earlier in the show. You're past that. The best place for the Raptors to be is under the radar, even as champions, because they will take care of business. They are better than Miami. Miami can shoot, but they're better defensively than Miami. They're better than Milwaukee. They're better than Boston. They're going to take care of all the business they need to take care of. They've been the most mature team this entire lead-up. There hasn't been a crack in the armor. and they want this again. And for a lot of these guys, this is last chance saloon with this organization and maybe last chance saloon to win a title like this. This is where you want to be. Yes, they're underrated. They're disrespected. Perfect. Perfect.
Same as last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Since I have the Stanley Cup in my backyard, Sid, do you know that I have the Stanley Cup in my backyard?
You mean physically right now? It's still in your backyard. It's still there. Are you kidding?
Well, like Alex Trebek, who sends the Clue crew of Sarah Whitcomb Foss and Jimmy McGuire on location to give clues on Jeopardy. I send it upstairs, outside my basement, back to my backyard, to myself in 3, 2, and 1.
This is outrageous.
Thank you very much, Tim. And might I add, you have a wonderful haircut. We all know the last time that a Canadian team raised Lord Stanley's chalice was 1993 when the Montreal Canadiens, backed up by Patrick Waugh and an epic 10 overtime wins, was able to bring this back to our home and native land. 2020 has been a crazy year. Sid, is it possible that this year, this cup remains in our home and native land? And if you think that could happen, give me the team that has the best shot to do it.
Tim McAuliffe throwing to himself in his own backyard with the Stanley Cup is 2020. That's I see all these tweets online. So 2020. This is so 20. No. That was 2020. McAuliffe throwing to Lord Stanley's. Is Phil Pritchett living with you for a couple of days? Like, is he cleaning? Like, what's Phil's deal right now?
Good dude.
Great dude.
Oh, no.
He's a great dude.
Hey, after the show, we're having beers in the back deck, kid. Don't worry about it.
Are you seriously? You're having? Okay,
yeah.
Don't answer that. Okay, you need to videotape that and just post it constantly. That's super cool. As I mentioned earlier in the show, Timmy, I got Edmonton and I got a Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup final. My basis for that? A gut. And I used to have a bigger gut, but I still trust my gut in certain ways. Connor McDavid looks pissed. Leon Draisaitl's the MVP. Mikko Koskinen, Tim, in his career in the KHL, .936 playoff save percentage. It's not the NHL, but there's a side to Koskinen we haven't seen yet. Mike Smith's played okay in the playoffs once or twice in his career. The Oilers have things going for them. The Bruins, I think, are the most hungry team in hockey. They should have won the Cup last year. I think the Oilers have the best chance. I don't know if they'll do it, but I'm looking at Edmonton. I'm looking at Edmonton, and I'm rooting
for them. I like it. Now, typically, Sid Zaxero, there are 20 cameras used for an NHL broadcast. In this summer's tournament, there will be 32 cameras per game, which should be able to catch some pretty damn good things. Some that we may have never seen before. What thing that we/you have done on camera do you regret the most?
I have a feeling I'm going to see one of them rolled any second here from our
team. No, hey, I'm asking you. No,
I can feel your look. I can feel your look. I know exactly what's coming. See, is it me running a 40-yard/80-yard dash in a unitard? I don't know. I haven't run that clip like 100 times on the show. By the way, I look way better than that. Is it? No, it's not the limbo. It's not the limbo. The limbo is just
the Lombardo would have been great too, but the limbo was.
It might have been my Taekwondo exhibition.
No, you should not regret that. Your Taekwondo might have been one of the funniest things that I've ever seen in my life.
All right, I take it back. It might have been running the 40-yard dash. You know what? Does my picture from grade 8 count? Because if it does, I'm throwing that on the pile.
Yeah.
I'm throwing that on the pile. Alert. Yeah, that one. Yeah. I'm going to throw that on the pile.
Yeah,
okay. There it is. Yeah.
Didn't you outlaw us from showing it again? You just allowed us to do it again by throwing that on the pile.
It's a global pandemic. Show my mullet. I don't give a damn. I could care less. It's fine.
So we're going with grade 8 graduation.
I think grade 8, if you'll allow it, Tim, grade 8 grad is fine. Yes.
And your summer teeth? Some are here, some are there.
Some are there. There was a point in my life I had teeth grown out of my ears. I had a bad tooth situation.
All right, I busted this stat out last week. I'll move on quickly. I won't go back to that ever again.
No.
I busted this stat out last week. Last time the NBA had a champion outside the top three seeds, 1995, when the Houston Rockets won as the sixth seed. Guess what? They had won the season before. Like that. That's how rare it is. They were the defending champs, and they won as the sixth seed. Point is, NBA is almost always chalk. But in 2020, in a bubble, during a global pandemic, any chance we see an NBA champ from outside the top three seeds that are right now, Lakers, Milwaukee, and Toronto?
No. It's no. A Milwaukee, Toronto, or the two LA teams are going to win the NBA championship. I think it's a lock of the century. You're not seeing one of those runs in the NBA. You're not. Tim, the level of competition last night from the Clippers missing guys, like that watch last night, that tells you all you need to know about what you're going to have to do to win that title. No team's going to slip through the cracks here and skunk a few favorites. It's not happening. Not happening.
All right. I said I wouldn't go back to it. The 2001 Lakers, last team to win a championship after ranking outside the top 10 in defensive efficiency in the regular season. In fact, since 1977-78, only four teams have won a championship after ranking outside the top 10 in defensive efficiency in the regular season. If you're wondering, Raptors rank second, Bucks are first in defensive efficiency. Speaking of defensive, Sid, what about your grade school picture are you most defensive about?
What Mark Spears did to it, I think, is probably... I don't mind showing it because I'm blooming late, as Tim McAuliffe likes to say. I'm fine with everything I'm about here. And quite frankly, I'm looking as good as I've ever looked. So you can go down the road of awkward youth all you want. The Mark Spears bludgeoning was something I don't think I expected. Tim, I know it's not something you expected. And it was epic in every single way. So that's what I regret is tying up the pinata for Mark Spears to come by and take care of business.
Last year, Brad Marchand, Conn Smythe winner Ryan O'Reilly tied for the most points in the NHL playoffs with 23. Two-part question. For those in a pool, should you count the round-robin games and the qualifying round in your playoff pool, even though they won't be official playoff statistics?
We are actually doing this in a couple of weeks NBA-wise. The seeding games are not going to count. We're doing strictly playoffs. And I would highly suggest anyone doing an NHL pool wait till the best of seven first round actually begins. These games are nice. I'm going to watch them. I'm excited. Don't tie a pool to them. Don't tie a pool to them. Because guess
it
what?
Makes the people are going to get so hurt. Much more juicy.
Yeah, until someone gets hurt in game four because Ryan Reeves ran him over. Well, Ryan Reeves won't be in the best of five, but you know what I mean? Someone gets hurt in the best of five and then you lose him. I don't like that idea. Someone gets hurt in this Orlando Magic Nets game we saw today. No, I don't like that. Wait till the playoffs to begin in earnest. That's a real pool to me. To each his own.
Second part is instant trivia. We mentioned Marchand and O'Reilly tied for the league lead in playoff scoring last year. Name two more guys in the top five in scoring. And remember, please leave time for the Tim and Citizens to play along at home.
Repeat the question, please, Tim.
Top five scorers NHL postseason last year as the St. Louis Blues captured Lord Stanley's Grail, beating the Boston Bruins.
Top five scorers.
So we already gave you O'Reilly and Marchand.
Yeah, O'Reilly, Marchand. Was Pasternak in there?
That is one. Give me one more in that top five.
Oh, jeez. That's a tough one, McAuliffe. One more. Bergeron.
You would have thought.
Damn it.
You want to play one more guessing game?
Yeah, one more. One more.
No, I mean one more guess.
Oh, no, I'm out.
Third, Logan Couture, San Jose. Fourth,
you're right.
Jaden Schwartz. Jaden Remember how Schwartz. Well he started.
He had that John Drews thing going on for a while, didn't he? Like he was looking good.
And I would have given you the Alex Pietrangelo, even though he was sixth. He was tied for fifth. I was trying to help you out.
Easy one.
But that's the way it goes. For those of us and those of you who have been with us since time, you know that there's a musical element to the countdowns based on stats and information provided. Today, as we get set for the Stanley Cup playoffs to be played entirely in our home and native land here in Canada, and the defending champions of the NBA, don't know if you've heard, from Canada, I decided the musical portion of the countdown to face-off / tip-off would also be all Canadian. And we will do that musical portion next, right here on Tim and Sid across the Sportsnet radio and television networks. Hey, did you know that the Stanley Cup's in my backyard, Sid?
Oh, it's another side of cops in my backyard with Phil Pritchard.
Could have been in your backyard.
Did your dad come by? Seriously, is your dad by to see it? Tell me your dad saw it.
Maybe we'll see it later.
Okay, let's go to break. This is ridiculous.
Deanna writes in, couldn't be happier to see Tim and Sid lighting up my gym TV talking about upcoming live hockey. May I say, gents, that the man caves are on point and the non-studio look has made you both look younger. Hashtag dads work at home. And Sid Sixero.
I'm going to be honest. I think we were called hot. I don't know for sure, but I think we've become huge sex symbols during the pandemic. I think that's what I'm seeing here on social media.
It's not that Sid Sixero, his studio makes him look slimmer. It's that he's lost 20 pounds. That's what makes him look slimmer. That's what makes him look sexier. I may have dropped a few, but I'm putting a few back on real quick.
You got the Stanley Cup. You're putting like 80 pounds back on is what you did right in the backyard.
Let's do the musical portion of the countdown to face-off / tip-off. And here's how it works. It's name that tune style. Sid gets a couple of lyrics. He has to guess the song. Problem is, we can't afford the rights to the music, so we're going to sing them with a little help from our friends. Distinctly Canadian classics, because the Stanley Cup playoffs, entirely in Canada. Defending champions, NBA playoffs, from Canada. Looking for song and artist. Let's play Name That Tune, but before we get started, let's check and see if the Stanley Cup is still in my backyard.
Do we have to get an update?
There we go.
Yes, the
neighborhood kids have joined.
Neighborhood kids, who, by the way, now they're all friends with your kids. Oh, what's in the backyard? A pool in the Stanley Cup? Yeah, let's go play with Nate and Maria. I'm just protecting their names. I know what's happening in your side of the of Toronto. That's great. So, by the way, Tim, the Trillium Cup is outside my door as well in the backyard.
Nice. That's
shout out
good.
Columbus Crew and TFC. Save the crew.
Again, distinctly Canadian classics is the category. And there is no better place to start this category than a man who once won a singing competition with Sid Sixero back in our podcast days. Clue number one. Classic Canadian songs comes from our friend Donovan Bennett, who should never, I repeat, never have won any singing competition. Coming down in 3, 2.
I'm sorry, Canada.
Are we an idol? Girl, quit playing. We're just friends. What are you saying? Said there's another look right in my eyes. My first love broke my heart for the first time.
I was so distracted by the 80 bad notes he hit. I didn't hear a lyric. I don't know what the rhythm was of that. I don't know. I think it's Love and Sass, but I'm not sure. I almost need to hear it again. Tim, I need to hear it again. All I heard was...
Don't be distracted by the cat squealing in the backyard. Sorry, that's Donovan Bennett. Can we replay that for Sid Sixero? Can we get confirmation? We can. Sid Sixero, again, focus on the clue from Donovan Bennett in 3, 2, 1.
Are we an idol? Girl, quit playing. We're just friends. What are you saying? Said there's another look right in my eyes. My first love broke my heart for the first time.
I have no idea what he's trying to communicate with me. Love and Sass, I don't need your kiss. I'm gonna land it on there initially. Tim, he's in no way is he giving me a guide to anything.
Come on.
Zero. You have given me thousands of these and they've all been amazing. You haven't failed. Donovan Bennett's failed. This is not a you thing, Tim. This is Donovan. I can't listen. I've given enough time for people at home to guess. Because I walk from the guess. It doesn't take away from the bit. But I can't figure out what he's doing.
Charlie writes in and says, song number one, Cocker Spaniel Cotton Car Door by Emo Phillips. Do you want me to sing it for you? This ruins it right off the bat.
No, I want you to sing it for me. Yes. I can't figure out what he's trying to get accomplished.
All right, let me pull up the lyrics here because this is just...
I'll even take the rhythm. Give me like an Al Bundy, him. Give me a little something. I need like some guide to what he's trying to do because I have no idea.
Oh, my. Are we an item? Girl, quit playing. Are we just friends? What are you saying? Say there's another.
Oh, all right. Justin Bieber. Baby, baby, baby.
That is amazing.
You are... at least, you gave me something rhythm-wise. Hold on.
We're not done because here's the reveal in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, no.
Are we an item? Girl, quit playing. We're just friends. What are you saying? Said there's another look right in my eyes. My first love broke my heart for the first time. And I was like, baby, baby, oh. Like, baby, 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 no. Like, baby, 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 oh. I'm going to regret recording this video. Baby,
yes,
baby,
you are.
Oh.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Like, baby, yeah, right. Baby, baby, no.
We can
like,
stop at any time, guys, if you want to just not run that anymore.
Oh, Mikel, if you owe me big time.
Did you give me the name of the song?
But yeah, baby, baby.
Right.
I gave you that.
So you are 2 for 2,
but
song
get ready to,
and artist.
Tim, get ready to give me your version. As a secondary clue. Just be prepared. I might not need it, but be prepared.
That was the first and only from Donovan Bennett. You know, we couldn't do singing clues without using my daughter, Layla, who, as Sid knows, and anyone who's been listening throughout this pandemic knows, me working at home has provided Layla a platform, and she ain't shy, even at 8 years old. And Sid, I don't know if you know, she was also outside with the cup. Layla, 3, 2, and 1.
Because it's the cup. The cup.
Sid, here's your clue. I heard there was a secret chord, and they've been played in it, please the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you?
Look at that.
Couple things. Mm-hmm. First, your daughter's fantastic. Second, getting really arrogant. Third, like... the fact that it was a good clue, hallelujah. Like, because that first clue was just unbelievably bad. So I'm going to say that is the legendary, and rest in peace, Leonard Cohen. Hallelujah. Also done, by the way, Katie Lang's version of the Vancouver Olympics, one of the most underrated versions ever of that song. It's just so good, so good.
That's right. I gave my daughter the hardest possible song to sing, but also one of the few that she actually knows the lyrics.
Better clue
to.
Than DJ's. Better clue.
Here's the reveal. Sid Sixero now 4 for 4. 3, 2, 1.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good job.
Sorry, we were standing right beside the Stanley Cup. Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure that you saw it. Yeah, because it's the cup. So Sid is now 4 for 4 in the countdown to tip off face off classic Canadian songs. You know, I also couldn't do this without one of your family members who likes to sing in front of groups.
What the hell have you done?
Clue number 3, classic Canadian songs, comes from your brother, the best of the Sixero brothers, and the one that meets all of your mortgage needs in Mississauga, Ontario, Nathan Sixero. Clue number 3 in 3, 2, and 1.
I never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing.
Oh, wow. He actually wasn't bad. Nason hit some notes there.
He did.
Listen, if you're in the Mississauga area and it's about mortgages and he won't nickel and dime you, Nason will take care of you. So that was the only good Nickelback song ever.
This is how
you remind me. I still like that song. The rest I can do without. I like that track. I've always liked that track. Nickelback, this is how you remind me.
Nason, 3, 2, and 1. 1.
And this is how you remind me. This is how You remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Tim, just so we're clear, we may have 24 NHL teams in the country watching us right now, and they saw my brother do that. Way to go, Nurse. Way to
six
go.
6-for-6, 6-0, with the help of his brother on classic Canadian songs. Oh. So I made the mistake of asking Ken Reed to do one. Not only did he do like 15, he did them audio only. So two things of Ken Reed are true. One, he's a very nice human being. He went above and beyond. And two, he doesn't listen to a word anyone says. So he screwed up, and we only have audio of Ken Reed. But let me just tell you, we've got a few covers for Kenny Reed. And here's his clue in 3, 2, and 1.
You'll have to excuse me. I'm not at my best.
Oh, my God. Why? Oh, hold on a second. A spirit is overcoming me here, Tim.
Oh my God!
I heard this. Why is it? I'm 43.
Mm-hmm.
I think I heard this in downtown Toronto at the Brunswick House 500 times, and I cannot for the life of me think of the track. That's Spirit of the West, one of the great Canadian bands of all time.
That is correct.
And that is. Tim, I mean, it's hitting me now because I'm getting pictures from all of our team in your backyard taking pictures with the Stanley Cup. So everyone's going to your home for a rest, apparently, getting pictures of the Cup. So
6-0 comes through. Kenny, give us the chorus and the reveal. 3, 2, 1. One.
Sing along, 6-0. Sing along. You ready? You'll have to excuse me, I'm not at my best. I've been gone for a week, I've been drunk since I left. These so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink, I need home for a rest. Take me home!
Why don't I just sing my own clues? I'm better than all of them. All except for Layla. I'm better than all the clues. All of them.
Nathan was better than you. Don't kid yourself here.
Did you hear Kenny, by the way, the other night? In a 9th-inning hit on Sportsnet Central with Showman and Buck, so it's tied.
Oh,
so they got like a million. They got like 1.5 million people. And Kenny's like, "By the way, Dan and Buck, it's good to see two professionals in the Tim and Sid studio."
Is this the time where we're throwing to people singing songs that we act like we are professionals? I don't know.
It's the most professional show we've done all week. Are you kidding?
8-for-8, 6-0, classic Canadian songs, musical portion, countdown to face-off / tip-off. I also made the mistake of asking Faisal Kamisa to help us out. Now, Faisal actually thinks that he can sing. Yeah, you got your hand up? What's going on?
Are you sure I'm 8-for-8? I feel like I haven't done 8 songs. Why am I 8-for-8? What am I missing?
Wait, 4 songs, song and title, 8-for-8.
Oh, you mean the double word score. Got it.
Got it, good, and since you understood, next clue, countdown, tip-off, face-off, classic Canadian jams from your favorite guy in our building, Faisal Kamisa, in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Sid, I thought I'd give you a little something more my style since you seem to always want to relate to me, so here we go. And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come.
How is it heading into a weekend? I can't remember what the track title is from the weekend. That whole record, by the way, can we still call it records? That kid is unbelievable. That 80s feel to it. I'm going to lose a point here, Tim. I got the weekend, and it's a massive track, and I'm letting you down. I'm going to pass on the second. I'm not going to get
it. Oh, my goodness. 6-0. The only time I go actually kind of, sort of, in the last 10 years. And you poop your pants, although you got the weekend. I'll allow Faisal to tell you how you lost perfection. 3, 2, 1.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it, but I love it. Oh, I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I love it, but I love it. I don't know why I looked there. There's nobody there. Bye, guys.
He was feeling himself. That's why he looked over there.
He was totally.
I know why he was looking over there.
That was masturbatory if I've ever seen it in my life. Faisal. 9 for 10 is Sixero. I can't. It's Canadian songs. I need song and artist. You might be able to make up for it here. And I know what you're saying. We got all this cheap talent out of the way. Well, here come the pros.
Cheap talent.
You and Curry of the Sheepdogs didn't
here
even have to sing
here
to help
go.
Us out again. He didn't even have to sing to help us out again. The Sheepdog gives us an instrumental on his classic Canadian song in 3, 2, and 1.
Notorious, ain't nobody can bang with us. You get the idea. Cheers.
They played the wrong one.
Oh, that's fine. I could. You want to play a different clue? I can do a different clue if you want.
I don't know if we have the other clue. We do. Dylan, can you confirm or deny if we have the instrumental with his mouth?
You and Curry has sent two clues. We're just confirming which one we're going to run here. And by the way, the Wi-Fi where Ewan is terrible. Absolutely awful.
That is the only one we have. But I do have it on my phone. 6-0.
So this is good enough. This is good enough where it's worth pulling up on the phone. All right,
who knows?
Doing it. Let's go. Play it.
Sid, you old degenerate. How are you? Coming to you live from the bush. You and Curry here. See if you can spot this one.
Monday Night Raw watching with Danio.
Atta boy, 6-0. How do you like the instrumental with his mouth?
Well, you could tell he's a musician. Like, he knows notes. Like, he was nailing it. Ewan was nailing it. That is one of the great hip-hop tracks in Canadian music history. You can argue the greatest, considering all the people that were on the track. That is Northern Touch. That is, oh, my God. Northern Touch. Damn it.
Main group. Just give me the main group. There's a lot of people.
Oh, my God. That's Cardinal. That's Rascals. That's Thrust.
There you go.
Okay.
Northern Touch, Rascals, Checkmate, Cardinal, and Thrust. Chaclair coming down with that Northern Touch. 6-0, 11 of 12. This for near perfection. The final clue, just like the rest, except maybe a little bit better voice than every one of our cohorts, I present to you Dallas Green of City and Color. That's right. I have dragged Dallas Green.
You got Dal into this?
Nonsense.
How did just you do to put, that?
Because Faisal sang like he thought he knew what he was doing, and I just wanted to put him in his place with Dallas Green, an encore of Budweiser Stage at Home, classic Canadian song in 3, 2, and 1.
You take my breath away. Oh, love thinks it's here to stay. Oh.
And then back to the grill. Yeah.
I gotta. I'm sorry if we don't have the time. I got to see and hear that again. That is, we do not have the budget of the Budweiser stage. For Dal to do that, that is fantastic. Can we run that one more time, guys? Now I'm talking to a bunch of people like, okay, here we go.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, he's got a voice, man.
Oh, my God.
You take my breath away. Oh, love thinks it's here to stay.
Whoa. We just uncovered the next social media challenge, the barbecue sing-off with Dallas Green. Because Dal drops that track, that classic Canadian track, and is flipping burgers immediately when it's done. That's Glass Tiger. That's the legendary Glass Tiger. That is, don't forget me when I'm gone. I'm going to get right to the point.
Oh, my goodness. Dallas, Let the people know in 3, 2, 1.
Don't forget me when I'm gone. My heart would break. I have loved you for so long. It's all I can take.
Like, to be one of Dallas's neighbors walking through the yard in that moment. He's like, he's getting like the best show possible. It's like, that can normally sell out Scotiabank Arena, and you're walking through your backyard hearing that. That was fun. Thanks, Dallas. That was good. That was a lot of fun.
Sid Sixero, 13 of 14. He just couldn't give us the song that The Weeknd sang. Or at least Faisal's impersonation of The Weeknd, because we couldn't afford any of this. So we want to thank everyone who rolled through. Dallas Green, Ewan Curry, Faisal Kamisa, Kenny Reed, Nason Sixero, my daughter, and of course Donovan Bennett, who sounded like he was murdering a farm animal while he was singing a song in an effort to help us out.
Great stuff, Timmy. Great stuff from the team. Thanks again for everyone helping us, but thanks to everyone who pulled that together. I did the least amount of work this entire segment. There's no secret in that, but thank you to Timmy and everyone. That's a lot of fun. That's great.
Did you know that the Stanley Cup's in my backyard?
The Man Cup just arrived in mine, so I'm trying to go trophy for trophy. I'm not ripping
on the Man
Cup.
Don't hate on the Man Cup. I'll get people after you. You hate on the. I just didn't know if you knew that the Stanley Cup is currently in my backyard, and I'm going to go drink with it as soon as we're done this show in about 16 minutes time.
By the way, Tim, in terms of the Sportsnet hosts that helped us out with that, the only thing I can think of is that's the hardest they've worked in 4.5 months.
We'll come back and wrap up and get you set for the craziest weekend that we have ever seen in sports history. Hope you enjoyed the countdown to Face Off, Tip Off. You're listening and watching to Tim and Sid on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
That was fun.
The funny thing about of our Friday Feeling song is that it could be our Best of the Week winner as well. Brought to you by our fine friends at Mary Brown's Chicken, Crave Delicious. We gave you 3 options early in the show, sent you to Twitter to vote at Tim and Sid, and here's what you came back with as our winner for the Best of the Week.
Y'all need to get off Lou Will. No, I'm not getting off him because the only thing I said it in break.
The man,
hey, he tried to fool everybody. He was going there for the wings.
No, first of all,
he went there for the legs and the thighs. He ain't going there for the legs and the thighs.
They're called flappers. They're called flappers.
He did not go in there for the wings.
I know what you were trying to say, Jet.
See, the thing is, they're socially distancing on the set, so they got to yell more. Like, there's gonna be more yelling on the inside the NBA TNT set. It's very interesting.
Is that the biggest desk you've ever seen in your life, by the way? The one that they're currently using? It's huge. I understand why.
Heading off for a Mars expedition. Like, it's a massive, absolutely massive.
So our friend Kenny the Jet Smith referring to Lou Williams' trip to an adult establishment in the Atlanta area looking for chicken wings is our Best of the Week winner. And you know where you can get good chicken, Sixero? Mary Brown's Chicken. Because when you crave delicious, head to Mary Brown's. It is a delicious weekend in the world. Even though the Jays don't play, it is still a delicious weekend in the world of sports. 90-plus events going on this weekend. Yet when we return on Monday, which is radio only, we'll see if we can start streaming this show because there are people who are talking about whether or not we can stream the show when we're radio only. We'll look into it. But there's also a bunch of people who are taking some time off because we have the time to do radio only. When we return on Monday, Sid, I don't want to be a downer, but are we going to be talking about the end of the baseball season?
Maybe not Monday, but maybe Thursday. Like, here's where I'm at. So COVID-19 goes through the Eastern teams, AL East, National League East, and it's in that division. So it affects a lot of clubs. At that point, I'm like, okay, now you have a 66% chance of finishing the season. As long as it doesn't head to Central teams or to Western teams, and quite frankly, I am stunned. None of the California teams have been bit with this yet. They are testing COVID-19 in the parking lot of Chavez Ravine where the Dodgers play. Mm-hmm. And this has been kept out of the Western teams, the AL West and the National League West. And then prior to today, the Central. Well, here we are, the St. Louis Cardinals today, two positive tests. So now you have that to worry about. Cardinals were just in Minnesota. So who knows what the Twins are dealing with. And the Cardinals fly in a plane with positives on it on Wednesday to Milwaukee. Now, the good news is the Brewers had zero contact with St. Louis. But now it's in the Central teams. Now it's dealing with both the AL and NL Central clubs, in theory. So I think there is a 33% chance, as you and I sit here, and I hate to end on a downer, I'm just being honest with you, 33% chance they finish the Major League Baseball season. It is panic city. Magic City, I'm not too concerned about anymore. That's not funny to me. Panic City is what you're seeing in Major League Baseball. The fact that Rob Manfred reportedly calls the Players Association and saying, you know what, we might have to cancel the season. Well, no guff. Epidemiologists have been saying this for months, that this is going to be very tough. We're right on the precipice, yeah. Tim. We're right
and
here.
Everyone's to blame. Like, don't give me this. The players didn't want the bubble. You could have made 7 bubbles. You could have made 10 bubbles. You could have adjusted things to make it happen. But nobody in baseball could get past the money that they were arguing over to figure out the right plan once we saw what was happening in the United States of America. And that's where we're at.
Tim, Rob, but I want to move. The commissioner. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they might not have a commissioner by the time this season is done, or maybe looking for a new commissioner. We are kicking off in a major way all of the NHL and NBA action. We are the home. Listen, I know that it's going to be difficult to navigate where the games are. Just go to the Sportsnet family of channels and we'll take care of you. That's all you need to do unbelievable.
Timmy, you got Rogers Ignite. Just hit the C button.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things. Listen, man, I'm not exactly a company guy. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. This thing on Rogers Ignite is unbelievable. You are covered. It takes
but
you right
you
to the
do
game.
That. Yeah.
I can't say enough good things about it, especially on a weekend like this and a stretch of games like this. It's fantastic.
NHL action, 5 games on Saturday, 5 games on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Blackhawks, Oilers, Sportsnet, 8 p.m. Eastern, Habs, Penguins, Game 1, CBC, Sportsnet, and Omni, 10:30 Eastern, Game 1, Jets, Flames, Sportsnet, and CBC, Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. After the Arkells play, Game 1, Blue Jackets, Leafs, followed by Wild Canucks Game 1, Sportsnet 360, never mind an FA Cup final, never mind all the other whole grain goodness, including the Raptors and the Lakers at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sportsnet 1 City TV on Saturday night. It's going to be good. But before I go, Sid, I'm going to go upstairs and just join the Stanley Cup. Have a great weekend, everybody. Yeah, I love you. Be well. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, take care. For Tim McAuliffe, I'm Sid Sixero. I don't have the cup. Have a great weekend, everyone. And remember, as we leave you in these times, never forget.
Wash your hands.
After you touch the cup. Washing your hands. Just wash your hands.